Okay, welcome to Free Association. I found another, this time on Brighteon, another conversation with David Martin's involved in, this time with Mike Adams. And I'm just going to play it. I haven't heard it yet. I'm just going to play it.
Welcome to the Health Ranger Report episode on Brighteon.tv. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And one of our fan favorite guests will be joining me shortly in just a minute, Dr. David Martin. And his website is davidmartin.world, and he's the author of a book called The Lizards Eat Butterflies that you'll definitely want to check out. It's not what it sounds like, actually, but it's a metaphor for what's going on in our world. Now, Dr. Martin, he is a multidisciplinary analyst and problem solver. That's my description. Who understands a lot of things about economics and health and human behavior and geopolitics, world dynamics. And so he's going to chime in today on some very important questions about what's happening in our world right now, specifically with the COVID backlash happening among professionals in airlines and what impacts this may have on the economy. That's my opening question. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Brighteon.tv. All right, we're back. Thanks for joining me today. We're joined by Dr. David Martin. His website is davidmartin.world. And Dr. Martin, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today and share your ideas. It's always an honor to have you on.
Mike, it is a delight to be here, and I keep seeing your face pop up. I keep being told how much Brighteon has made an enormous impact. So the honor of your impulse to get that going has obviously come exactly at the right time. Tons of people are benefiting from it, so I feel honored to be with you as well.
Well, thank you for that. You know, the reason that we built Brighteon is simply so that we can have these types of conversations. That's all there is. It's that simple. And I was interviewing a guest yesterday, and he said, halfway through a sentence, he said, "Oh, I'm on Brighteon. I don't have to censor myself." Like, exactly. Welcome.
Yeah, very good.
So anyway, you heard kind of my opening question, I believe. So we have this now, the vaccine uptake has reached the point, kind of what I'm going to call the hell no point of the remaining unvaccinated people. And there's quite an organized backlash, sick outs, presumably affecting Southwest Airlines and other sectors of the economy. 1,000-plus police officers are going to be resigning from the Seattle police force. And we've got firefighters, first-line responders, and so on. If you could, please talk to us about this dynamic and what this means for our society moving forward.
Well, I think we have a situation where it's very clear that the plans that were laid out by the World Health Organization in the World at Risk scenario for the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board back in September of 2019, and for people who haven't read it, I really do encourage you to read it because this is the playbook. We are playing through the whole playbook. What we're trying to do is we're trying to see exactly how far people will respond on what level of motivation. And so, as you know, we started off with, you know, kind of the pretend this is for your neighbor's interest, for your grandmother's interest, for your so we appealed to some of that familial guilt and shaming. And we got a certain number of the population that way. And then we upped the ante. We decided that when grandma doesn't work, we're going to do free beer and donuts. And so, you know, we did the incentive play. And we saw a number of states do the lotteries and the financial incentives and everything else. And Mike, this has been a market test. It's a market test, and it always was set up as a market test. That's why I remind people we don't have to interpret the facts. We just have to read the facts. This was a market test to see at what level, what threshold, we start getting pushback. And at each level, you saw we hit a moment where we kind of got, oh, yep, the free donut people went. And then we got the donuts and beer people went. And then we got the donuts and beer and lottery tickets went. And if you think about, I mean, go back to the beginning of this alleged pandemic. Remember, it started on cruise ships.
That's right.
And it's important for us to understand this. What does a cruise represent for the average American? A cruise for the average American, for that matter, the average middle-class person in the world, a cruise represents a week of opulence exchanged for a lifetime of indenture. Let me say that again. a week of opulence exchanged for a lifetime of indenture, right? Look at what a cruise is. It's the limitless buffet. It's the huge shopping mall on the water. It's the, you know, casino. It's the nightlife. It's the whatever else. But it's set up for one particular population, and the population that it's built for are the people who had a dream of one day having abundance, and what they get is a week. So it's not surprising that we started the pandemic on cruise ships, because if you're going to target a population, you want to target a population that was almost willing to dream and see that we can destroy their dreams. And now, so what we've done is we've done the whole continuum, and the last straw to fall, as you know, when President Biden made his statement about any employer over 100 people has to do the mandatory vaccine, this is now going after the assault of something that's been around since 1217. This is an assault on the Charter of the Forest and the Magna Carta. This is an assault on whether or not you have the right to livelihood. And now what we're doing is we're saying that unless you defile the sanctity of your life, you are not entitled to the right of livelihood. And the good news is, as you just said, we have now poured into concrete the resolve of those people who are saying, hey, we weren't going to fall for the donuts or the cruise ships or the lottery tickets or the anything else, and we weren't going to fall for the restaurants. There's not a restaurant in New York or LA worth violating the integrity of your body. I don't care what the restaurant is. No restaurant in LA or New York is worth it. We go all the way through this, and we're at the last ditch, which is I'm going to take your livelihood unless you actually bow the knee to a belief in a technology which has had an 80-year run, and that run is over.
You make some really fascinating points. We've got to dig into this. What I find fascinating is that when it comes to AIDS patients, and we've had AIDS, HIV, since about the late 1980s, I believe, is when that started.
Yeah, mid-80s, 84, 85.
Okay, yeah, right, okay. And even when people are diagnosed as being carriers of HIV, there is no societally allowed discrimination against those individuals based on the status of their blood.
None at all.
Even though they're diagnosed with a sickness that is contagious, according to mainstream medicine. Now then, when it comes to COVID, people are then discriminated against because they are not sick.
Right.
And they're not wanting to alter their blood with an artificial intervention. How could this have been flipped so radically since the mid-1980s? And it would be wrong to discriminate against AIDS patients, by the way. I'm not saying we should.
Oh,
it's
exactly
wrong. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, well, so discrimination is a funny thing because we now live in a totally upside world. We can't talk about the objectification of women in a magazine like Playboy, but we can have the cover of that magazine now occupied by the first openly gay male model. It's acceptable to exploit a homosexual male, but it's not acceptable to exploit a female. I mean, you're exactly right. We're living in this upside down world where you're just sitting there going, well, hold on a minute. When did it become okay? Because last time I checked, exploitation of gays was supposed to be kind of among the liberal left's cardinal sins you can't do. So the icon of having succeeded is we now have a gay Playboy model. Like your cognitive dissonance in this kind of polarity switch, you know, the pole shift of what used to be their talking points. Now those talking points are in fact exactly inverted. And if you look at that and go back and ask the question, what was this about? I have said since the beginning, as you know, Mike, this was never about a virus or a public health issue or a pandemic or anything else. This was about a social cover story, and I said this in Plandemic Indoctrination. This is a moment of cognitive dissonance where we are being asked to remember 2020 as a justification for a shift in the way the world is supposed to work. And what I love about this moment, Mike, is that Vaccines were just the foil. It's a technology that's being used to play a game. How far can we indenture a population? How much deprivation can we have in that population before the population draws a line under enough? And the great news is, I think we've got there. I do not believe, as much as CDC wants me to, I do not believe that we're at close to 60% vaccinated. I think we're a lot lower than that number. And the fact of the matter is, if you look at New Zealand just had to admit that they're not even at 50%. And this is for a lockdown nation that allegedly got everybody. What we know is that the effort to suppress humanity is actually backfiring, and what's happening is we're galvanizing a stronger resolve, not a weaker, a stronger resolve to further distance ourselves from accepting the next one of these things.
Amen to that. absolutely. In fact, the backlash against the blatant irrationality of what people are observing, for example, who in their right mind as a hospital administrator in the middle of a claimed pandemic says this is the time to fire all the nurses with natural immunity?
Yeah.
What sense does that make?
Well, and Mike, let's take that one head on. I mean, the hospital administrators could not be more pathologically lying, and I am putting all of them on the same bus and hopefully getting Sandra Bullock to drive it over a cliff, because here's the problem. The problem is they have all maintained hospitals. And by the way, I've looked at all of the ones mandating the vaccine. They've all maintained hospitals that have been sanctioned for their violations of hospital-borne infections. Things like MRSA, methyl-resistant staph aureus, things like cytomegalovirus, CMV, these amazing pathogens, which in fact are the reason why if you go to a hospital, you're more likely to acquire an infection. The very hospitals who are alleging to say that this is in the interest of public health have been maintaining petri dishes called hospitals, petri dishes of pathogens, and they haven't done a single thing. You haven't seen a CMV alert on the front door of a hospital. You haven't seen, hey, before you walk in here, know that the last 17% of all the patients that walked through Houston Methodist door came out sicker than when they went in. That is not on their front door. But a face mask and a, if you haven't been vaccinated on COVID-19, is. And you just sit there and say, well, hold on a minute. You cannot tell me on the one hand that you care about my health. And for over a decade, be violating basic standards of hygiene and have sanctions from the federal government against your hospital for being a pathogen breeding zone, and suddenly you tell me that your nurses are the problem? Really? Your nurses, they're the problem.
Right, and it's like, here, have a colonoscopy with an extra helping of C.diff, right?
Right, exactly.
Or the doctor's here to see you with his tie filled with superbugs that's going to drape across your chest, because they are, in many cases, they are carriers. This is how it goes from patient to patient.
No question.
Their hands and their cell phones, and we can't even get all the healthcare providers yet to wash their hands appropriately between patient visits. So you're exactly right. But there's something else that's even more disturbing, and this gets into the area of this psychological experimentation on humanity. And this was raised, an issue has been breaking just today. Dr. Richard Bartlett is sounding the alarm on this. A hospital in Texas has been found to have placed a large plastic bag over the head and shoulders of a patient who was suspected of having COVID-19. The patient refused to wear a mask. They placed an equipment bag over the patient's head, still open at the bottom. They didn't tie the bag together. It wasn't quite, asphyxiation, but that's probably the next step. But doesn't this enter the realm of a Milgram experiment to see how far will the hospital people go?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Well, remember, I mean, like we're trying to do with society, we're also trying to see whether or not we can actually take what we know is federally illegal. I mean, we got to remember this. President Biden's executive order has no bearing on any individual. Let me say that one more time. The executive order has no bearing on any individual because an executive order by law can only be a directive to a federal agency. It can never be a directive to a person. So what happens is, what we're trying to do is we're actually trying to subordinate all of the order of actual legal practice to see how much of the thuggery that the establishment wants to do can be done by the henchmen called employers, called healthcare workers, called public health officers. What we're doing is actually a cunning abuse of the way the Commerce Clause was set up, the way the entire structure of our country was set up. We're using this cunning abuse to say we can't do it, but we're going to wink, wink, nod, nod, suggest and insinuate that this is a thing that should be done, and we're now going to see whether or not we can, under the guise of legality, do willfully illegal acts. I mean, bear in mind, there is no law that allows any federal agency, including the military, to use any one of the current injections. And the reason, Mike, is because under the law that allows for compulsory vaccinations or compulsory medicine, even in the military, you have to have had an approved institutional review board of that study that included safety data, that included animal studies. None of these clinical trials had any safety data. So there is no legal IRB. Forget the study. There's not a legal study, but there's not even a legal IRB yet for a study. And every single one of the clinicians and every single one of the scientists who have been involved in this process know they are violating the law. And this is a way to get blackmail and dirt. And you know what happens when you bring together. I mean, listen, this is a fraternity hazing done badly. It is to see how many people can get dirt on each other. So for the rest of time, you will all know every time you shake a hand, every time you see each other at a convention, you'll know you were complicit in an evil act. And because it's your secret and their secret and everybody's secret, you're going to pretend like it didn't happen.
This is extraordinary what you're describing here, and let me pose this problem to you, because this has just emerged also with Southwest Airlines. So Southwest Airlines, the CEO, I believe his name is Mark Kelly. Southwest is based in Dallas, Texas. Yesterday, as of this recording, the governor of Texas, Abbott, issued an executive order prohibiting corporations from requiring vaccines as a condition of employment. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has said that there is a federal vaccine mandate affecting private employers, private industry corporations, but there has been no such rule published by OSHA. So Mark Kelly of Southwest Airlines went on a news program today, maybe, I think it was CNBC, and he said he's going to abide by the Biden mandate that doesn't exist, and he's going to ignore the Abbott restriction that does exist. What do you make of that?
Well, so here again, the CEOs of all the airlines are violating the law. And I want to just make it abundantly clear. You cannot compel participation in a clinical trial under any circumstance. It is illegal to do that. It's a violation of the law. And every airline CEO who has done that has violated federal law. They are participating in what is effectively domestic terrorism and war crimes. And those are the laws that cover these actions. When you compel someone against their will or coerce someone against their will into a behavior, those are domestic terrorism and war crimes violations. Those are felony violations. And so he's admitting on CNBC to violating federal law. Now, do you think that there's any chance that the Attorney General in Texas is actually going to do anything? Is Ken Paxton going to go, hey, we are going to indict a guy who just got on air and just told the country that he is not going to follow the law of the state in which his corporation operates? You know, the facts are very simple. Abbott's power is only effective if the co-equal branches of government do what they need to do, which means Ken Paxton should have shown up and actually cuffed the guy.
That's right.
Admitting a felony violation of both state and federal law, because in Texas, you have an administrative law. And this is in Texas, your laws are interesting. They're called administrative codes and administrative provisions. You have an administrative code that is the effectively identical code to the Federal Trade Commission Act for deceptive medical practices. It is illegal in the state of Texas to tell somebody that a thing can treat, diagnose, or cure a disease if it hasn't been established in at least two independent, peer-reviewed clinical trials that are legally conducted. Well, guess what? None of the vaccines have either of those requirements met. Therefore, it is illegal to even do the clinical trial, much less compel somebody to participate in it. And so this is a situation where Ken Paxton could do what is the right thing to do, which is to actually show up at the Southwest CEO's office and go, you know what? I don't even have to charge you because you've already admitted to the crime.
Right, and arrest him on the spot. Now, if you read Governor Abbott's executive order, it's very strong language, unusually strong, saying that the federal government is bullying Texas employers and employees. In other words, creating victims on both parts of that relationship between employers and employees. And yet, why would these CEOs, when they know that there is no federal mandate that has the rule of law behind it, not yet, not until OSHA publishes its rule, which would be immediately challenged with a tidal wave of lawsuits, why are these CEOs, in your opinion, Dr. Martin, why are these CEOs making themselves vulnerable to the prosecutions that must be coming for the crimes that they are admitting to carrying out on camera?
You know, one of the things that I have found fascinating is that we have had in this pandemic such clear and egregious violations of federal and state laws. You know, we have the CDC putting together a PowerPoint presentation for its own employees, pointing out that the very famous turn of the last century Juho v. Williamson case. Juho v. Williamson is probably one of the best public health cases that has ever been published, which essentially said that you cannot quarantine a healthy population. That's a Supreme Court decision. You cannot quarantine a healthy population. But do you realize that the only case that any of us hear about in mainstream media are Jacobson?
Right.
Jacobson, which allegedly gave rise to allegedly the justification for valid vaccine mandates. If you read what that case is, the case is simple. The case says that you can either get a vaccine or pay a $5 fine. That's the Jacobson case. The Jacobson case did not establish that vaccines for the rest of time are legal. What Jacobson said is, if there's a public health mandate and you choose to opt out, then what the opt-out provision is a provision that you're obligated to. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should pay a $5 fine to be healthy, but I'll tell you what. If I had the vax or $5 fine, which is what the Jacobson case is, I can crowdsource everybody's $5 and I can buy the world's out of the vaccine thing, right? I mean, this would not be a hard thing to do. If we actually were interpreting Jacobson, what we would do is the right thing. But I think we're doing something else. I think what we're doing is we are willfully emasculating the judiciary. And I'm going to say this really precisely. If you take the judiciary offline, it's a very powerful thing to do because the judiciary is the public's point of access to address grievances against the government. And if the judiciary is compromised, meaning that we know that crimes were committed and we know no action was taken. I mean, think about Portland, think about Seattle, think about all of the things where we very clearly saw felonies time and time again, abuse of property, abuse of person, abuse of everything else, felonies conducted, and we saw the official response be do nothing.
We've got 30 seconds in this segment. Just let you know. Go ahead.
The point is we're compromising the judiciary, and we're making it abundantly clear that having a compromised judiciary closes the door to the public getting redress for their grievances.
Exactly. Well said. Dr. David Martin is our guest. We're going to continue with an extended conversation, a few more minutes. I'm going to ask him about the phrase before times, a dystopian phrase being used by CNN now to describe empty shelves. His website is davidmartin.world. Thank you for joining us today on Brighttown.tv. This continues on Brighttown.com. All right, we are now in the extended interview. I'm sorry to interrupt you there. It's just a time format thing. So my question is about this phrase. So CNN said that people expecting the store shelves to be abundantly filled, people expecting the supply chain to function as it traditionally has through most of our lives here in America anyway, that they now have unreasonable expectations because those were the, quote, before times. This is the kind of phrase you would hear in some kind of dystopian sci-fi collapse movie, that maybe that's what we're living in. What do you think about it?
Well, so you've heard the kind of ultra villain Klaus Schwab come up with his, you know, you'll own nothing and be happy by 2030. You've heard about this mysterious thing, which you've encountered probably if you've been in any major either equipment, automotive, appliance, any other kind of classic big technology purchasing environment where suddenly no one can source materials because there's, quote, a chip shortage. A chip shortage. Now, you hear about it, but nobody actually is drawing the line that says that the number of things that require chips, like the ignition systems and the systems that govern, you know, fuel regulation in our automotives, in our automobiles, the ways we actually sense things like the water levels in our washing machines or the temperature in our dryers or the ways in which our smart, you know, refrigerators keep their cool or their warm or their whatever you want them to do. There is allegedly a chip shortage, and I've loved to see how many different places now blame the absence of supply on a chip shortage. And you have to take one step back and say, did we absolutely lose printed circuit boards? Was there something about the plastic or the polycarbonate that ran out? And the answer to that is no. Did we absolutely have a shortage of copper? No. Did we absolutely have a shortage of any of the things that are actually in printed circuit boards? And the answer to that is no, but we have a chip shortage. And Mike, here's my concern. I don't think we have any chip shortage. I think what we're doing is redesigning chips to actually start playing into what is going to be the digital and e-economy, where the control of who we are and what we do and what we experience is based on a intermediated decision-making process that says that your access to things, whatever they are, which include, by the way, what you have in your home, what you have in your car, where you can travel. The things that are being done are not chip shortages, absolutely. We didn't have a fab facility go down that can't start up. What we did do is we actually have engineering manipulation of chips right now that is altering the experience going forward, and we are living in a world where when we talk about the before time, what we're actually describing is a period at liberty where we had the ability to move, assemble, speak, and engage at liberty. We are actually redesigning the communications protocol, and we're redesigning the actual physical architecture so that we have the ability to turn on and off, make access to or remove access from each individual so that the command and control systems that people have desperately wanted to see in place can actually be implemented. Because as long as we have freedom of movement, freedom of assembly, freedom of commerce, all the things that we have, as long as we have those things, it is very, very difficult to institute control systems. And the minute we show you that, you can't go to the grocery store, you can't jump on the interstate, you can't cross a state line, you can't do other things, and it's not just we're going to stand in the way of it, your computer in your car is actually going to flag you're approaching a state line. Guess what? This state line has the following 10 sanctions. Mike, just 2 days ago on my Samsung phone, I received a notice about whether I would like to get a report on when Pennsylvanians with COVID positive tests were coming to Virginia.
Wow. Wow. And, of course, you didn't sign up for this, you're implying.
Yeah. I'm sure that buried inside of a Samsung service contract somewhere or inside of an AT&T contract somewhere, it said, you know, do you authorize us to inform you of national emergencies and Amber Alerts and anything else? And I'm certain that they've constituted this as an Amber Alert.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, if I'm sitting in Virginia and I'm being asked if I want to know when Pennsylvanian hot COVID patients are crossing the line, I'm not forecasting what's coming. I actually see what's here.
Well, maybe those of us in Texas should be alerted when there are more Haitian illegal immigrants invading our southern border.
Apparently that's perfectly fine. They're right. Apparently perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine. Okay, now we're going to wrap this up, and I thank you for your time, but I want to give you an opportunity for people who'd love to hear more from you. Where are you doing interviews or posting podcasts and videos and things like that? Where can they find you?
Well, you know, Kim and I have kept the Butterfly of the Week going ever since the start of this. That's still up on YouTube. It's still on Facebook, and it's on a lot of other platforms. And, Mike, I think a lot of people are putting it up on Brighteon. I'm pretty sure that I've seen a bunch of those posted there. And one day offline, you and I will talk about how to do that more. We also just set up a new platform, the FullyLiveAcademy.com. FullyLiveAcademy.com is where we're having a lot of our virtual events for people outside of the United States who want to participate in what we're doing but can't travel to be with us. So the FullyLiveAcademy.com. And then the thing I'm doing a lot of, Mike, is I'm showing up in the flesh. I'm going to places and meeting people. So tomorrow I leave for Yuba City, California. I'm going to be at the COVID Con 21 event at the Church of Glad Tidings in Yuba City. I'll be there with some beautiful people who are actually beginning a...
All right, that's pretty much the end of the content. I don't know who's still here. There's a few people being in. It's just me at the minute, so... So that was Dr. David Martin in conversation with Mike Adams. I don't think I really need to add anything to it. It was a bit US-centric, but good content nonetheless. They always need to talk about the southern border. There's no way to get away from that. They just always have to do it. It's not really my thing because I'm not in the US, so I don't get involved in that sort of stuff. But that's pretty much it. I'll post this one and we'll see where we go from there.